What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hey. Hi, guys. Welcome to this. Oh, my goodness. That was a little premature there. Welcome to another What's for Dinner episode, everybody. I'm coming to you from the studio/living room with without Allison this week. Allison is actually at work right now as I'm recording this episode here. So I am sitting just with my guest, my buddy, a return visit to the show. He's given the
Am I supposed to make a sound? Or I can't. Yeah, there's no visuals.
There's no visuals, so you're throwing your fingers up like the satanic horns.
Yeah.
He's here.
For me and my cats that are locked in the bedroom.
He's here. He's not queer.
What? He's Adam Richmond.
Yes, baby.
The not queer here.
Just so we're clear, I'm not queer.
Huh? That was good.
That's pretty good.
We're clear, I'm not queer.
It's weird to be on a podcast called What's for Dinner when you haven't even had lunch. Come on, who writes this?
Not me.
Not me either.
Not me, my friend.
That's my favorite to do a line in my act to be like, who writes this? Nobody.
I meant to tell you, by the way, before we started, Adam and I, last weekend, I think, I was headlining the Yoo-Hoo Room at Flappers, and Adam was nice enough to come and do a spot on the show. It was very fun, and I got a copy of that show when you came behind me and put your arms through me and everything. Very funny stuff.
Thanks, man. That was a fun show.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, man, people are when they're ready to laugh, they're always going to have a good time. I've been having so many conversations about comedy, but people like what everyone, you know, it's so PC and it's so, you have to do this and you have to be so sensitive and you can't say this. And then I go and I do whatever I want and people just fucking enjoy it and they laugh. And I'm like, all right, well, what's wrong with this? Why is it so complicated?
I don't know who makes those rules that comedy has to be one way or another. It seems. I mean, there's a market for everything, right?
I know, but the political correctness lately, man. I don't know what's going on with
Who's telling you to be politically correct?
Well, it just seems like everything is safe. Everything is of that safe, you know. When you push buttons, like talk about real stuff, it's like nobody wants to really hear that. Like we really feel like we're delving into the world of political correctness, and we're okay with it. And I think it's just all lies.
I'm trying to think, like, who of all the big comics out there right now? I can't think of anybody huge right now who's politically correct.
The big ones. It's like once you get to that point, you're allowed to do that. But then the level before that is very safe.
You're talking about like the ones who work like us that work the clubs? You gotta
stay political. Sort of like who's getting on Conan and who's getting on like Ferguson and you know and Leno. Like all those spots are all very safe.
Well, I think that's just because like Leno especially, those are very the demographic. It's a kind of politically correct crowd.
But you go to all these places. We go to all these places in the middle of America, and people love that stuff. They love when you knock. I was in Kansas City, and I started my anti-God rant in Kansas City, which is the Bible Belt, and I got a huge applause break from them because all I'm saying is something that's truthful. I'm not, you know, it's well thought out. I'm not saying in my act, I'm not saying like, you know, I say treat people well, don't be an asshole, mind your own business. I'm judging you for you, not judging you on the color of your skin. These are all real progressive things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's some real nuggets of truth to it. And sometimes when I go places, I talk to people and there'd be different background than I, but they get it. Like, so the people that really get my act, it's a philosophy thing. It's not like another white Jewish Canadian guy that only, you know.
Yeah,
there
are so many of those around the States.
There's a few.
Another white Jewish Canuck.
It was like a 50-something Middle Eastern man in Vancouver who thanked me for my life philosophy on my act, and I appreciate that, you know?
Yeah. I think, dude, I don't fucking know.
The truth is, fame cuts through all the shit. All you gotta do is get through on one show. You become a celebrity, and then you have
carte blanche.
Yeah, then you can do whatever you want. Then all this conversation about what's acceptable, what's PC, and not is completely irrelevant.
Well, see, it's funny. We were just talking about, and we won't say names, but before the show, we were talking about a comic that we saw, who is a name, who does have celebrity, and who wasn't very audiences didn't really enjoy.
That was what we say, eating shit.
Mm-hmm. But I think that, because you were saying is like, once you get to that level, you know, you can cut through all the shit, but I still think you need to be funny. You know, it's like, did you ever see Comedian, that Jerry Seinfeld documentary?
Yeah, very funny.
And Colin Quinn goes, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Jack Nicholson, the most beloved guy in the world, can go on stage, and the audience will give him maybe 10 minutes, and then after that, they're like, okay, you got to fucking make us laugh, or else suck.
Does Colin Quinn talk like that? Colin Quinn might die.
I don't know, it was an awful Colin Quinn impression.
Thank you, I'm high all week.
I'm not high at all.
I hope to be.
But no, but I, you know, I honestly think like I'm to the point now, like I've been going through so much like personal shit lately as far as like self-discovery. Like it's been scary but also very relieving to kind of accept certain things about myself and acknowledge them and then try to change them. And one of the things,
comedy night. Is this therapy or comedy night? What's going on?
A little bit of both. Maybe, well, a lot, you know, a lot of great comedy comes from therapy.
Who's listening out there? Because if you are, go to my new website, mobilefriendlyadamrichmondcomedy.com.
We'll just, plug later.
I wanted to interrupt Flip's...
We'll plug later.
Anyway, go on. I to yeah,
Flip, I know you're having this really...
I know you're having this profound moment where you're going to actually reveal all this information to
but
me.
But I'd like to talk about my website.
Have you seen adamrichmondcomedy.com? All right, go on.
No, but like something that I've realized is that since I was a kid, dude, fame has been kind of this thing I've been aiming for, you know? And I knew I wanted to be a comedian, like, since I was 8. And I had this drive, I had this vision. Comedian, famous. And I reached comedian, and it's amazing. But this, the true fame that, like, you know, the fame we all kind of strive for hasn't happened yet. And it's like, I kind of gave myself that timeline that a lot of guys do. And so I think, like, lately I've been, like, freaking out that I'm this age and I haven't hit that yet. And it's been putting me in this weird funk. But then I kind of like had this moment where I was like, you know what? I don't need that. It's great, but I don't need it. You know, we're very lucky to do, we're a very small percentage. We make our living doing this, you know. And I think we forget that sometimes because we're so looking at what we don't have yet that we kind of forget what we do. So as far as like going, you know, Conan and Leno and this and that, if it's coming, it's coming, you know.
But I agree. I just can't believe how much they say no to really talented people. That's all. You know, and forget about myself. You know, I think I'm good and I should be on some of these shows. But it's like there's so many great people and now we're at such a great art. And I don't know why we're not really stroking it a little bit better and find more venues for it, more ways to showcase it.
Or
Johnny Carson. It's just more like the time, the sign of the times. I agree with you. We're just at a bad time. Like
we're in an oversaturation.
Absolutely. And YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff was designed to level the playing field. You know what? It worked.
Totally.
It worked so well that now all these like retarded celebrities are out there, YouTube, you know, because they got famous because they got kicked in the nuts, you know.
Yeah,
now they got a viral video.
It's definitely leveled.
Because I agree with you in the sense that my goal was not necessarily fame, but it was to be great at something, and then you learn, and with greatness comes
great responsibility.
Well, with just comes opportunity. Well, that's, what are you, Spider-Man?
Yes.
Or Spider-Man.
Schneiderman.
But it becomes like you're supposed to, like, you know, I work really hard to get good at what I do and be funny in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be original, and I've, you know, cut out certain jokes because I think they're too easy.
Yep.
So I push myself to be like, I'm funny on my own. He's got a physical. I'm loud. I got the voice cadence. So I do that. And then I see people say no to me because I'm not doing the same thing as everybody else. Like, that is preposterous to me.
I agree.
That is not at all what art is supposed to be.
I agree.
And I've learned, and just because you've said that my stuff is like, sometimes a knock on me is that I'm too high energy for like a television show, and that does not make sense to me at all.
Who said that?
The Craig Ferguson show said that I was too high energy for their show, and if I had to bring it down, I mean, you watch people on their show, and it's very middle of the road, very safe, very like standing there. And I'm not saying they're not good. There's some good comics on there, but like I can do that too. Just tell me to stand stationary. I can do 5 jokes that are just straight to the camera. But the other side is I don't want to be less of what I am.
So you stay true to yourself.
I do stay true to myself, but it's...
Then you know what? Then I think it's...
Sometimes
it's,
doesn't get me, you know, ruins me from certain jobs, you know, like...
Then you know what? Then you're not meant to do those jobs, but there are better opportunities.
There are better,
along.
And there are other shows I've been on, and, you know, there's other things that are happening that I'm excited about, so I'm not... It just seems like it just... You can't say no to people. When they figured out a path into this, it's like a hitter. You know, it's like a Major League Baseball player that's like has a weird stance, and everyone's like, well, he's got a weird stance. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's smoking the ball. He has 40 home runs and 120 RBIs. It doesn't matter if he stands on his tippy toes and wears ballet slippers. He's fucking awesome.
I got to be honest. I'm not a sports guy. If we could talk about this in Broadway musical terms.
Okay.
So like a guy who...
Oh, hey, man. Say Broadway, when you're a jet out of the way.
I know what you're talking about. I always just want things
to work like a meritocracy. Like, I know you're good. I know I'm good. Like, we walk into a place, and they've never seen comedy. You put any city, it's a comedy club in Shreveport, Louisiana, but it's a comedy club. I know that I can walk in there and kick ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime, any place.
But so, like you said, the playing field's been leveled. There was, and like you think about Carson, and you think like in the 80s and the 70s, whatever, there were not a lot of comics, especially comics that were really good, you know? And there were not a lot of avenues for these comics to be seen. So you got Carson, and you got Merv, and you got, you know, whatever.
Why doesn't Leno have one comic a week on his show?
Because
what is really
you know, okay,
issue?
You know as well as I do, any of those shows, it's not just about Leno or Letterman. There is a network and executives and everybody from the fucking janitor to the president saying, I want this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And unfortunately, it's become a political game, which is the good thing about YouTube and about the internet is that we can just put our own content out there as we want it, and whoever finds us, finds us. But it just doesn't hit the mass appeal that, of course, a television appearance could do. But even a like there was a time when you do the Tonight Show like once, and the next day you're getting offers and calls all the time.
It's not the same
now,
it used to be.
You could probably mention 20 of the last guys who've been on Leno, and I probably don't know half of them. Because either A, they're not comics around here, or B, nothing's happened.
Here's a rule for me. Like, it's like trying to get on, you know, a network or something. And if I see somebody on TV that has a TV spot and they live in LA, and I haven't seen them once in the comedy scene in my decade of being here,
mm-hmm.
that's a little bit of an issue. Because we know each other. There's a certain people, like, you know, again, we're not famous, but you walk into places and people know. The comedy scene certainly knows me. There's places I walk in, people, like, have heard of me. Which is great.
Yeah.
And that stuff's cool. But then when you see somebody who's on TV and you've never heard of them or have never seen them,
and
there's something amiss.
You know what? And that's just a lot of it is about newness. You know this too. When you first got here, like when I first got here too, like, and I don't want to harp on this a lot, but you know, you're the new guy in town. People are talking about you. Agents are scooping you up. They're sending you out here, there. And then if you don't pop right away, they go, okay, next. And I think a lot of these guys that you see on these shows are just guys who came here or New York. They're young, they're hip.
No, I wouldn't even say that. I find them completely uncastable, to be honest. I find them very...
But you know what? You know as well as I do the one big word, buzz. If there's a buzz about you, doesn't matter if they've never seen you. Have you heard about the Saturn Richmond kid? Holy shit, apparently he's killing it over here. And blah, blah. We got to scoop him up. We got to get him on this shit. That's what it is. It's about buzz. It's about a rumor. It's about people repping you who could create that buzz well enough for you. You know?
I do understand that. I also feel that we're also, believe it or not, even though you feel like you should be famous at this age, we're actually kind of at a good age for the next step, considering what I've seen in the last few years with people getting really big.
I don't know. I've seen people getting big. I never thought I'd say this. Much younger than us.
I don't know. I don't really know how many people.
Look at Amy Schumer. Look at Anthony Jeselnik. Look at these guys who are in their late 20s. Who are
they're in their 30s and I don't think they're going to blow up like Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and you know and guys like that, and I think those guys are way better comedians than those
absolutely.
Two you just said.
Absolutely.
Like those two do not have, you know what, fine, good for them, congratulations, I'm all for everyone's success, but I don't think that either of those guys have legs, either of those guys are saying anything that's really important, and in the long run, the stuff that really resonates, you know, the reason you go back see Louis C.K. is because he's saying interesting things. Really interesting, you know?
I agree.
Bill Burr saying really interesting things that are funnier. Like, and I think what I'm doing is pretty interesting. I've said some really, like...
What's your writing process, man?
My writing process is I just live. I live.
But how do you know when you, like, when you come up with a good idea for a bit? Like, how do you work it out?
I just know now. Now I just know it. Because when it's that funny to me, usually when I write, the first stuff I write is the funniest. Like, my first instincts towards writing the joke are right on. And sometimes I'll chisel it away, but 90% of the time. And I don't push myself to sit down and write. I already have so much material and not enough time to perform it, you know?
What's the oldest joke in your repertoire, like, from how many years ago?
My oldest joke is I want to be a teacher till I found out that giving LSD to a bunch of students doesn't constitute a class trip.
And when
that joke is now in another joke. It's not its own joke, you know, whereas 10 years ago,
isn't that great?
It used to be its own joke. Now it's a punchline of a joke I talk about being pro-drugs in America and talking about steroids and baseball and how everyone's such a hypocrite about smoking pot, yet they're drinking as much as they possibly can.
And what year did you write that acid joke?
Probably my first couple years. Actually, one of my best friends gave me that line in my act. Like, we were riffing around, we kind of came up with it, and then I just remember him being there or inspired it, and then that was one of my oldest lines.
So like when you first moved out here, you said?
Yeah, no, like you know, before that, probably a couple years before. So probably been doing that for about, I've been doing comedy about 16 years.
So okay, so is that, so?
Probably my second, third, fourth year.
So that's the oldest joke. So my question is when you said like I have so much material, I don't have time to do it all. Like, do you find yourself letting go of a lot of stuff to make room for newer ideas?
It's almost
ideas?
Like they're all like every joke is an entity, and in order to get beaten out, you have to this other joke has to be better than you. It's like almost, and I know you hate sports, but another sports analogy.
Give it to me.
You know, my
I don't hate sports.
This joke is playing first base, and it's the best first baseman I got. Uh-oh, who's this guy? Oh, he's a little bit better now. Looks like I got a new first baseman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I won't get rid of jokes, but I feel I've evolved where my stuff is just way better now. I'm happier with what I'm saying. You know, the stuff that's changed is like I'm saying stuff that I used to have a bunch of different jokes, always like goofy and silly, and then a couple serious ones here, really opinionated. And then the last few years, I realized there was way more opinionated ones, and they came like a nice through line in my act where I start out goofy, get people on my side, talk about, you know, drinking and drugs and then I'm a troublemaker. Then all of a sudden I'm into like real shit and you're like, you've been watching me, and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, I'm trapped in this. Like my schnarfer jokes,
mm-hmm.
The jokes about the people being schnarfers, that's my word for haters. Like schnarfy schnarf, we don't like this schnarfy schnarf, which is today's society. Everyone on Facebook commenting, I don't like this guy. This guy, how can this guy be funny? He doesn't have a beard and mustache and glasses like all the other alternative comedians. Schnarfy schnarf.
As I sit here with a beard, mustache, and glasses.
But you're funny. The problem with that stuff too also is when you get away from that, you forget, like when I make fun of the geeks, I'm not saying they're all geeky. Like, Patton Oswalt might be a nerdy comic, but Patton Oswalt is talented. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm not saying he's doing it. People do someone a disservice by saying, oh, he's a nerd comic. Oh, he's an alternative comic. No, he is a talented guy who's funny. Move on. You know, the rest, you are talented and funny. The other shit doesn't matter. It's the people emulating Zach Galifianakis's look because they feel that's the way to look. You know, the fat, bearded, schmooly, me. And then go up there and be like, I don't care about anything, and everything is, bleh, 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 you know. Meanwhile, again, Zach is talented.
Right.
So the other shit doesn't matter. It doesn't matter you're trying to be this alternative thing. You're not that guy.
I know.
You're not anything like that.
There's a fine line between, admiring a comedian and then trying to be that comedian,
right,
thinking that's how you do comedy. I remember when I was working in Texas years ago, there was a whole group of guys coming out of Austin that were trying to be Bill Hicks, like trying to have that kind of like, fuck you.
By the way, I have some Hicks to me, and I didn't mean to, and I'm very happy about it because I've seen some of his material. I didn't know much about him in Canada.
Oh, really?
I knew a little bit about him, but then my act evolved, and I started to realize a couple of the things touched upon things he did. But they're important things, not jokes, not exact jokes,
but
philosophy.
Yeah.
Like, mind your own business. Don't tell me what to do with my own body. It's none of your fucking business. All those things are very important to me. So over the last few years, I started to really kind of put them in my act because it was things I felt I needed to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up on stage for an hour. It's like, leave them with something. And now I've left them with something, you know, and I have real serious joke. I mean, I guess they're serious jokes, but as long as they're funny, they work, but... Man, I have a joke right now about racism where I talk about being Canadian and I moved to the States and cannot stop talking about racism. Like, and I don't care about the color of your skin. I don't care if you're black or Asian, whiter than white. I don't like you because you're an asshole. You know, give me credit for judging you on your own merit. You suck as a person. And then, excuse me, and then I relate to some guy in the front row who's a black guy. Like, aren't there ways that we can relate? They're deep in the color of your skin. It's like, oh my God, you like pussy? I like pussy. You like sports? I like sports. You like rock and roll? What are we, fucking soulmates? And people are just like, you know, all of a sudden you're like, that's sort of true.
Yeah.
But that joke is about, the joke before that is about my sister marrying a black guy who's Canadian and he's from the islands.
Oh, I refer
to him. That's my brother-in-law. He's Grenadian Canadian. Like, it's talking about political correctness.
Right.
And then I'm going to do this bit just so you get an idea. But it's basically what's happened is now they live in the States. There's always like a new black person who doesn't know me at all. And I'm start having a conversation. In this conversation, they're somehow like schooling me on racism. Like telling me about the history of black America and the history of slavery. And by doing that, you're like insulting all my friendships and my relationships with all my relatives and friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if I haven't talked about, like, this is juvenile. I talked about this stuff a long fucking time ago, you know? And the big problem is for black people in America, and if you're listening out there, here it is, black people. stop vouching for another black person because they're black. Okay? Can you stop fucking doing that? I don't represent every white person in the world. I'm a Jewish Canadian. I don't represent a toothless yokel from southern Mississippi who bangs his cousin. We're not the same. And when you see like black comedians going, white people, white, like that, honestly, I'm out. When you do that joke, I'm out of it. So the joke part of that, that's, I mean, there's the vouching thing was
there. A whole lot of setup.
Because the joke is about, no, there's more that'll be squeezed, but it's okay. Basically, also, I'm a Jew. I get a little bit about the racism thing, okay? And you know what? I'll take slavery over extermination any day of the week, okay?
Nice.
You take the Holocaust, I'll take slavery. I'll write Django, you write Schindler's List. Because if I have to have one more stupid-ass conversation about racism, seriously, I'm going to shackle myself to a cotton plantation in Auschwitz. You see, I mean, it's,
I like it.
Right, it's pushing the envelope, but what did I say there? I didn't say anything wrong. I've already established that I'm very pro whoever you are, and I'm not judging you for the skin. So when you come at me, and now all of a sudden you're pushing towards me like I'm the racist when you know nothing about me, it's obnoxious. And I just, when I think about, you know, a little bit about black America, and again, I'm not saying there's not stuff to be, to remember, like slavery and what happened in the past, but God, it's 2013. Get over yourself and get that chip on your shoulder. All of us too.
Well, I think the one of the main, like as a Jew, like I don't know if I personally had any relatives or anything in the Holocaust, but it wasn't me that was there. It was people of my religious background.
I had
or
enough
whatever.
Extension from my family that are related enough, and then people that I knew well, and like my best friend's grandfather was directly, you know. Got out of Poland before he got
before,
killed.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I think I had relatives that got out of Russia
and that stuff,
or something.
You know, I'm not trying to use that as a chip on my
shoulder. No, but I'm just
that's
saying,
just an example.
Like,
that shit fucking goes on in this world. That's what goes on.
Yeah, and it's not about getting, like, get over it. It's more about it happened. It's not happening now. It's something that we don't forget.
But history does repeat itself, and we got to be careful of this.
Well, I mean, I think we're kind of doing it to Muslims now. Muslims are kind of the new black.
You know what? They need to, for Muslim people, they need to take responsibility that some bad apples spoil the whole bunch.
Spoil the cabal.
You know, you need to, like, say that. I'm sorry, Muslims. Like, it's like, not all Muslims are terrorists. No fucking doubt. Not all Muslims
but all
are terrorists.
Terrorists are Muslims.
But all terrorists
yeah.
are Muslims. You know? Yeah. So you change that.
Well.
My solution to the Middle East, I don't even want to get into political, all this stuff, but my solution to the Middle East problem when it comes to Israel and the Jews are... Listen, if all Jewish people, if all Israelis put down their weapons, if all Middle Eastern people put down their weapons, there would be peace in the Middle East. And if all Israelis put down their weapons, Israel would be destroyed. So you remember, you make that not true, and I'm all for solutions.
You know what the bottom line is, man? And this is, I think this is just, all bullshit aside, and this is, I know this is going to sound very hippie and whatever, we're just all fucking people.
Yeah.
Deep down. This is what our bodies are just, it's Allison has a great word for this. She calls it a meat suit. We're all basically wearing suits. Inside, we're all the same. We're all energy. We're all, you know, fucking energy.
You're right, but people are
but
raised
people
different.
Exactly. It's all about teaching and almost and brainwashing, really.
If you are
How many things that were you taught when you were a kid you believed and lived the letter until you got old enough to kind of question everything? But when you were a kid, there was if your parents said, you know, there's a tooth fairy or even you go to school, you go to fucking school and they teach you how to be quiet. Don't question authority. Raise your hand. Your opinion doesn't matter. This is what the truth.
But we're comedians. Didn't you learn at a young age to question that? Because I still question authority.
No, I do.
I've been questioning it all my life. And there's
no,
certain things
I believe
there's certain rules
boy.
You follow. You know, like right now, my rules are don't hurt anyone, don't steal from them, and don't kill them. Everything else is black and white. Everything else is, gray. You know, because nothing else is that clear.
Yeah. No, of course. You know, again, this sounds so hippie and shit, but...
I'm a hippie. I'm a capitalist hippie.
Love.
Yeah,
I mean, honest to God, it's a very powerful force, and if you really look at everything in the world, it's all pushed by hate, by fear,
especially
by
nowadays,
by separation.
God, the schnarferism out there, man.
Oh, it's
it is
awful.
Remarkable.
Everybody's opinion is negative.
But that's also because of Facebook and iPhones and
it's
YouTube.
You're right, though.
Everyone, and that's what I've said to people. I've said to people straight up with comedy, go, you know what? It's hard. Like, I'm a positive as I can be, and I'm still trying to be funny all the time. But I'll tell you, when you go out there in the world, when you're thrust into the population, you see what's out there. And I hate to tell you, but the energy overall out there is negative.
It's negative. You walk, like, I was, you know, coolest thing happened yesterday. I was in downtown Burbank, and I was by Flappers.
That's already the coolest thing ever. You were in downtown Burbank? Phenomenal.
You know it, motherfucker.
You've got moxie power.
I don't know what it is, but you got it.
I can't believe it.
And you know, like, whenever you're walking around in social circles, nobody makes eye contact. Nobody smiles anymore. If they do, you're like, what the fuck is his problem? Just a smile. I'm walking one way, and these two girls are walking the other. And one of the girls, you ever seen Labyrinth?
Sure.
You know, so you know David Bowie's character, Jareth?
Yeah.
She was wearing a shirt with David Bowie from Labyrinth. And I just look at her and I go, you remind me of the babe. And she goes, she smiles. She goes, what babe? I go, the babe with the power. What power? I go, the power of voodoo. And we just do this little song quote from the movie.
Yeah.
And as we're walking by, we're like turning back to each other and almost yelling it across. And it was the coolest feeling in the world. Just that brief connection with another person I've never met before and a common theme. You know, and she could have easily went like, ugh, and like, whatever. She connected right away, and it was such an amazing, such a rare feeling you get nowadays, you know? And I think I think of, like, how it might have made her smile, and that kind of energy she passed
along
to somebody
else. If she's positive and responds like that,
obviously,
you know?
She was. She
right,
smiled back.
But I'm always doing that. I'm you know, we're like, we have those personalities that you engage
with.
You
engage, yeah.
What happens is you do that, and some people fucking hate you for it, man. They hate that you're positive. Like, that's what I've realized. People love... You know this about me. People love me and hate me for the exact same reason. People love me because I'm fucking brash and confident and outgoing and in your face. And people are just like, man, I love that guy. And other people are just like, fuck that guy. What a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Who does he think he is? And what's going on right now, I mean, first of all, whatever, I don't care. I get rid of the haters because for me, my whole attitude is the right people respond the right way and the wrong people, well, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
They're the wrong people. But it's your attitude, your energy towards me is just like people don't know what to deal with confidence now anymore, Flip. We're in a weird world. They assume confidence
Everybody
is arrogance.
Meek. Everybody is put down because, again, that's...
Is destroyed and beaten.
Yeah.
And I wasn't raised like that. And I didn't become... And even if I wasn't raised, I pushed myself to not be that way. Even the stuff with comedy is to talk about, you know, it's like I felt an obligation to start talking about real things and things that I had to say and things that I've seen. And most of the time people agree with them, but sometimes people are just like, no fucking way. That's not the way I think. That's not. And then you're like, because there's actually people out there who's offended that Cookie Monster sings about cookies. They're like, because you know that my joke about Snarfy, Cookie Monster can't sing about cookies. My kids are getting fat. So now Cookie Monster has to sing about vegetables. Like, there's really... Somebody out there who actually thinks that their kid is affected
by a puppet.
And that is just
those are
preposterous.
Those are parents who basically take no responsibility for the
welfare
of their kids.
They probably suck as parents. They're probably failing as adults.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. So
and
there's a majority of those people out there. So we have to conform to those.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. It's like, are you a stand-up fan?
Of a stand-up fan?
Stanhope.
Doug, sure.
He has this great bit where he talks about, why am I paying taxes for your kids? You know, why am... Like, I'm paying extra taxes because you couldn't fucking pull out. And, you know, I gotta slow down in a school zone. They're not my kid. The back seat of my car has child-proof windows. I don't have kids. Of course, those are extreme examples, but it's a true point as far as what we were just talking about. When parents don't take responsibility for their own actions... We're the ones that have to suffer
at the result.
Yeah.
They're banning the 32-ounce Big Gulp in New York because kids are getting fat. Well, congratulations, New York. I'll take 2 16-ounces, please. You know what I mean? Like, makes no fuck. You're defeated. America goes around the issues.
Yeah, they
never really delve into it. And it's never really, you know what? You know, like what you just said. Like, why is there someone on news? Guys, take responsibility for your actions, okay?
Yeah.
You know what? Kids playing t-ball and everybody gets an at-bat, you teach them no lessons. You teach them no lessons about rules, about gamesmanship, about being successful, winning and losing,
mm-hmm.
and failing and being good at something. Because you know what? Not everyone has to be good at t-ball.
Yeah.
We find other things that they're good at. That's the whole point of life.
See, and I think that's also a good point, too, because you know, I've heard a lot of people go like, oh, we don't keep score anymore. There are no winners now. Everybody's a winner. you can't teach kids that.
They don't
because,
learn good life rules.
Because one, yeah, one.
Well, that's why they're not. That's why we're dealing with all these people that are so over uber sensitive right now.
Yeah.
Because these young 20s, that's how they were raised in the last 5, 6,
exactly.
7, 10 years.
And you know what? As a parent, if you've got a kid who's on a losing, you know, who loses a game, that is your opportunity to teach your kid, hey, you know what? There are going to be times in life when things don't work out the way you wanted them to. And you can't sulk about it.
It's like a Nestle Quick commercial from our childhood. Remember
exactly.
that? Oh, you lost? Well, hey, did you have fun?
Did you have fun?
Great. Well, here's a Nestle Quick. I love you, son. You know?
Yeah. And that and that's it. And you know what? There are times you're going to win. There are times you're going to lose. That's what life is. But you don't let it get you down. You learn from it. And next time, you just try harder.
And if I'm raised to be strong and confident together, and I'm growing up as now, why should I now? Now I have to change myself? Be less of what I am. It's almost coming back to the comedy thing of like high energy and like I've made myself a captivating for like an hour. People are, you know, and now you want me to be less of what I am to be on your show? That's yeah. That doesn't make sense to me.
I've always said you got to play by their rules so you can rewrite your own. But I think
I don't know if I necessarily I agree with that to a point, but then there's, you know, then there's a James Dean quote on my website that says keep giving them you until it's you they want.
That's true too.
And that's a great one. So there's
that is a really good quote.
And I agree.
I'm going to change my quote now. I'm changing my quote to give them you till you're what they want.
I would like to do a bit just so because it's sort of on topic of what we're talking about. And I've mentioned the T-ball.
Don't set up it's a bit anymore. Just do it.
Well,
it sounds more profound.
Well,
if you
kind of
want
to just
you
explain
know, it's
to
funny. You ever think about this? I'm like, that's fucking brilliant.
I know, but it's more just like because we talked about the T. Because I want to know these are what I do. I talk about the T-ball and everybody getting in a bat. I talk about Cookie Monster and how he has to sing about vegetables because kids are getting fat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word how they banned the song "Money for Nothing" in Canada because there's the word "faggot" in it and people are offended by the word "faggot." It's like
oh,
no.
That Dire Straits song.
Yeah, well they change it now.
What is it? That little
well, they edited it on the. If you watch the Music Choice satellite radio here, and you watch that song be little with an earring in his ear, a little said guys, I swear to God.
You know what I was? It's and we'll go back to doing your bit in 1 second. Just talking about that, I was watching. Do you ever see Monster Squad?
No,
it's actually a great old 80s movie. Whatever,
I've seen it.
It's kind of like Goonies meets monster movies, basically, and. This was, I guess, probably about 87, 88, and these two bullies are picking on this fat kid, and they call him faggot. They call him faggot. And at another point in the movie, one of the nice kids are getting, kept back in class when talking, and the teacher's talking to him, and they're leaving going, that homo was almost touching me. Yeah, I thought there was no fag, and they were and this was, like, back in the 80s when fag, and I'm not saying it's a right word, but I'm saying you look back at what was, and now you, things are supposed to be more progressive, not regressive,
yeah.
You know?
And they were saying insane. It like joke. They were saying it derogatory. Like
yeah, they're not saying like... Yeah, they're not making fun of gay people. Fag was a term of like, what a
but all this stuff is a result of everyone knowing too much YouTube, too much Facebook, too much information.
Too much hypersensitivity.
Now, absolutely. Too much hypersensitivity as a result of knowing more than we used to.
Yeah.
So... So when they banned that song, I'm like, oh, people don't like the word fag. Well, here's again, everybody, faggot, faggot. I'm like, it's just a word, people. And with no malice bonding, it also be mm-hmm. very fucking funny.
Yeah.
Plus, what happens in this world? You're not allowed to offend people. What if I don't like you and want to offend you? It's not illegal.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're offended? Now what? And that's my favorite. Like, there's a pause. It's not even so funny as it is. Like, everyone's like, he's right.
He's right.
What do you say to that? So blah, 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 I go on, and I go, oh, and for all you crazy God lovers out there, do you honestly believe there's a God up there who's pissed off at us because we wear condoms, or we decide who we want to love, or we make choices as to what's right with our own bodies? I don't fucking think so. If there's a God up there, he's pissed off at us because we build giant bombs, and we kill each other, and we glorify this violence in our TV, and our movies, and our video games. I'm not worried about the kids in my family, because it's my family, and we're smart. I'm worried about your faggy kids who suck at T-ball and are getting fat because Cookie Monster singing about cookies. Just remember that's your fault that your life sucks. Your fault. And stop blaming others for your lot in life. Remember, the peace of mind comes from within. And as soon as you figure that out, it's then and only then you'll achieve true happiness. Namaste, bitches. Right? Well, that's a good one, right?
It's very good. Very profound.
It's profound. And there's jokes in there because I call back the T-ball, the fag, and the, you know, so I'm still being funny. But at the end of it all, I've gotten good applause breaks.
Yeah, no,
I just say there? I also knocked three important things without really getting into it. I said Because there's a guy that's pissed off because we wear condoms. No, you're allowed to wear condoms. Because we decide who we want to love. No, you can be gay if you want to be gay. Because we make choices to what's right with our own body. No, if you want to have an abortion, you can have an abortion. You want to smoke pot or drink, you can do whatever the fuck. All those things.
You know what I think? I think if we change the name of abortion, it has a heart like abortion.
Yeah.
It's a I think, what if we just call it like, hey.
Strawberry plucking.
I'm going to have a cookie. I had a cookie today.
No, I'm going to strawberry pluck.
I'm going to have a little strawberry pluck.
That's true.
Actually, it's funny, like, just side note, I had a bit that actually did a Skippy about racial slurs that, just saying, like, the race, that, like, if we change racial slurs, the racist would stop saying, if we made them really cute terms, right. The racist would stop saying them because they're just, like, instead of, like, yeah, swear to God, if those damn unicorn riders don't go back to Mexico, we're the unicorn. Oh, they're pretty unicorns or something like that, you know?
You know what they say. You know Smurfs love fried chicken.
Oh, they do.
I like our guys always, yeah, man, come on.
Come on, brother. You know what I'm saying, man? This guy.
It's funny, though, when we talk about, because all what I just said is progress. Like, I want comedy to be like that. I want it to be funny and more real, more significant. That's what, like, Pryor was doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Bill Hicks was doing.
That's what we have the opportunity.
That's what George Carlin was doing. And, I mean, when I say I touched upon Hicks, like, what I just said, like, I think Hicks, if he saw my act, would be like, I like this guy, you know? Because what I've said all these things, that God thing, the mind your own business stuff I talk about. You know, I have this one joke where I'm talking about all this stuff. And it's like, you know, look at, everyone just thinks they're so important. Like, look at this. We're just, me and you, we're just two people sitting in this one room in Burbank, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this giant hemisphere, in this massive globe of 6.5 billion people that spins around in an infinite universe. And you think you're important? You know, you think aliens a billion light years across space give a shit that you're having emotional problems? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Zork. It looks like Flip Schultz from Burbank, California has changed his status from in a relationship to it's complicated. What are we to do, Zork? I don't know. We must turn off. We must stop the universe. And when can we turn it back? I don't know. Maybe when Flip gets his shit together.
Is that a bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't always. Of course it is.
I'm sitting here going, is he winging this? And then you just go, yeah, of course it's a bit.
See, I went by your advice.
That was.
I winged it. Now yeah. You thought, oh, man, he's pretty smart.
Yeah,
he's
I was like, that was good. Because you put me in the bit.
I thought the relationship was like, you know, look, if there is life on other planets, you think, like, if the universe is infinite, then
where
do
we go? But see, at the same time, we are important. You know, we are, because we are.
Well,
we're part of a bigger machine.
But that's why I even made the choice to be a comedian, do something with my life. Because at some point, I realize how small and insignificant. All right, you know, I'm going to tell you a truth about Adam Richman. And I hope people are listening, but I don't tell this to everyone. But I don't even mind the wrong.
Pilar, I hope you're listening.
Here we are. Here's a truth about AdamRichmanComedy.com. Everyone talks. Sometimes, like I meet people, and they say to me, the word is humility, that I don't have enough humility. Like in my act, that I'm not so like nerdy and demanding that you feel sorry for me. And I hate that as a period. But then the word strikes me because it's like, wow, I guess maybe I'm not showing it enough, or they don't really get it. But my humility comes from a long fucking time ago when I realized how small and insignificant I was. Like that Zork joke, you know, that I know that I'm nothing in the grand scheme of the universe. Like I'm just one small piece of shit person. Like, I remember tripping out of the Grateful Dead concert, and there's 100,000 people dancing around me. I'm like, shit, I'm nothing. But then the music comes, I listen to the wind, shout, I am, and I'm like, fuck, man, I am. And I jumped up, and I danced, and I had the best fucking time, and I realized, man, it's all up to me. It's all up to me and my mind to decide how I'm going to treat this, how I'm going to act. I can sit on this chair and be all pissed off and upset, but no, that's not the way I'm going to fight. I'm going to go, and I'm trying to do something and have fun in that moment. And then that translated to even a greater thing, which is, you know what, if I'm so insignificant, then you know what? I'm going to be heard. I'm going to try to do something with my life. And I decided to become a comedian, you know, because I have that reach, and I now live in L.A. I travel around the world. I met a lot of amazing people. I've had a great fucking time. I mean, there's things that I want. We know this. We talked about this. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm doing something with my life. I made that choice that if I'm insignificant, then I want to be heard.
Here's a big question. Are you happy?
I am happy, but I'm ambitious, so that sometimes gets in my way. You know, we're sort of the same in that regard. Like, sometimes I'm happier than pig and shit. Like, but after I move on from that, I'm done my happiness. Now it's like, it's time to get to work. You know, I got some things I want to do. But, like, I've had some great times. And, like, this year I've already been to, I was just in Toronto and Victoria, Japan for the troops. I've been in Alabama and Portland and Arizona and Southern California. You know, like all these gigs. And
that's great, man.
Yeah. The women and friends. And I'm having a blast. So I can't be an asshole. To say that I'm not I'm not unhappy. There's no doubt about that. But I just, there's things that I just want.
Dude, you and I should go into like the desert and just trip.
We should do that. But it's hard to be like, there's things that like when, you know, the business stands in your way. That's where so I'm frustrated a little bit sometimes, but I'm not so self-absorbed that I can't sort of appreciate where I am and how far I've come.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think about this business is that it fucking weighs on you, man. It punches you in the goddamn gut so many times.
But I'm happiest also when I'm doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like even this, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm having a great time talking to you. I got a show tonight. I got a meeting after. So when I'm busy and doing it, and it's when I have these down times of like a few days, and I'm not married, so I'm not with anyone significant, and I've got like a couple days where I don't have to do anything. Like my gigs are coming, but I've had like a couple days where I just, all right, it's up to me to figure out my day. And right. I work and I do stuff. But after you've put in 2-3 hours, you're like, okay, it's 3 o'clock. I don't have anything. It's 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. I don't have anywhere to be till Thursday. What do you do? You know? So sometimes, well, that's where the frustration
I know, dude,
lies.
Totally. You're having
too much time.
Too much, time. Like as what's it fucking Styx would say, too much time.
Too much time. But when I've done a show and it's so, like I've done an hour, it's like, you're tired. You're exhausted. So it works.
And
you
feel fulfilled.
You feel fulfilled. Totally. And then you're fine for a certain amount of time.
But I think those, because like I totally know what you're talking about with those kind of like off days when you're like, I got literally nothing I need to do. And that's when you're alone with yourself. And that's when like.
And it's up to us to perpetuate it, you know, to make the stuff happen. Like,
well, there's that, but there's also like, you can't be busy all the time. There's like, and I said, this kind of comes back to where I've been lately. It's just like, okay, who am I? Am I happy with me? Do I love me? And I'm, you know, and this is something that I don't think I've ever really had to face or ask myself because I've always been preoccupied by other things, even when I was younger. And because at the end of the day, like you said, you're with yourself, and that's when you really find out if you're happy or not. When you're like, do I like Flip Schultz? Do I love Flip Schultz? Do I love Adam Richman? You know, and I think those are the moments where it. You connect better with yourself, and it opens you up more creatively to explore other facets of yourself into your comedy.
Yeah,
which is, I think, where you and I are at that age where we're discovering more truths about ourselves, and it's coming out in opinions, and it's coming out,
sure.
In, you know, things
and
like that.
That felt necessary to me, and I agree with you. And I believe me, I guess I'm at the point where I've always been happy with me, so I'm beyond that. Now it's
good
just like I'm in my late 30s,
fucking hate
and
I
just, you know what it is. It's just that ambitious. It's like, I was at my parents' place in Toronto a few weeks ago. They have a place north of Toronto on the water. It's pretty nice. They got a lot of rooms, food in the fridge. I did a show for their charity at their local golf club. We raised over $4,000 for the local hospital.
Oh, that's great, man.
Which was sweet. And I was like, my mother and stepfather were super proud that I was able to do this. It was like, that was like a life moment almost that I was able to come. 150 of their friends came to the show. They all put my, you know. So I did that. That was pretty awesome. And then I sat at their place, and I was high and watching TV and eating food. And I was like, oh, man, I could just live here forever. You know, they wouldn't kick me out. I could just stay here and chill out, play golf. I got enough money in the bank. I mean, I could still gig and from here. And go. But fuck, is it boring? You know, Jesus,
yeah.
Is this boring? Like, even, see, you know, even like we living in California. It's beautiful. What can I do? I go to the beach today, jump in a pool. But you know what? Fuck, man, I'd rather be on set. I'd rather be on set. Acting, getting paid for it. I'd rather have 5 shows tonight. You know, I want to be doing it.
Yeah.
Because I love what I do.
We're not ready to.
Right.
Well, I think that's another great thing.
We have the retirement life too now.
That's the thing. We live both. Like, that's another thing I don't think we realize too. I was talking to my brother, and he was just telling me, you know, and I thought my brother, I know he's got a great life. He's got a kid, he's got a house, but we were, you know, I was kind of bitching him about what I've been going through, and he goes, dude. And he said, do you realize I don't even have this much amount in the bank? I'm stressing about this. And I'm kind of going, holy shit, my life really is not bad.
Yeah.
You know, like when you really put things in perspective. But at the same time, I know what you mean. Like,
it's all relative.
You still want
what you 100%,
want. 100%.
Me and you want the same things. And like, we're, you know, we're both, we're on the same page. When we met, we were friends immediately.
Right.
Because we just, I mean, especially I remember the Jewish things and comedians, and we're the exact same age.
I remember where we met. It was on that bar that that Knight used to run on Melrose.
Right.
In that bar. And I remember the bit that I did where you came up and went, dude, I fucking love that bit. It was the thing about the dog. Like the dog who ripped the guy's throat out. And I said, like, you know, said he was the owner was put in jail for keeping a mischievous animal. And I go, mischievous? No, Dennis the Menace is mischievous. This is a fucking killer dog. Like, the dog's like, oh, I took a poo-poo under the piano because I'm so mischievous. And then I ripped my neighbor's throat out because I'm a little scamp. And I remember you coming up and me going, dude, that's so funny. And that, we hit it off right like that.
But that's how I want my, our friendship is real based on the things we like. I still love some of my friends growing up in Toronto when I was back there those last few weeks. I realized what a different place we're all at. And we're always going to be, some of these guys, I'm still always gonna be 10 years old, but I don't want to talk about stocks and golf and babies. I want to talk about comedy and show business and traveling around the world. You know, like that stuff is more interesting to me. To me, Adam Richman, not to anybody else. I'm not saying you have to be this way. That's where the diversity of people come in. We're all fucking different. We don't always have to be the same. But like and if you ask me that, like sometimes, you know, again, coming back to what we were saying, some people would kill to be in my position. I'm a working comic. I have a place in West Hollywood. Weather's beautiful. I have great friends, great family. I meet girls. I get to travel. It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I want to take it to the highest level, whatever it takes.
That's, you know? That's exactly it. And
you know, the difference between me, honestly, the difference between me and you and guys like Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld, I honestly don't think is such a gap. It's just a matter of credits. I do not think I'm not taking anything away from them. I think they're awesome, but I don't think that what we're doing is any less. Because there's a lot of people that think I'm their favorite comic. So all I need is more exposure, and then I'll find my place. Of course, with doing that, we're going to find more haters too, but you accept that.
Yeah. Oh, but I think that's... sadly, right now, it's a part of life. There's haters in every business. You know?
And once you accept that and know that, because now I embrace it. Now I just know that everywhere I go.
Totally.
And even when I go out at night, I almost prepare myself for something that's going to happen where somebody doesn't like me. You know how many places I go and I have a great time and I meet people that like you or friends and we have a blast, but someone somewhere in the back office was like, not Adam Richman. And then they can find out afterwards, somebody hated me somewhere. You know what? I just can't.
I can't deal with it.
I should be less of what I am. I should not. So the only rule is to almost don't talk to anyone.
No, it's not. I don't think it's don't talk to anyone. I think it's respect that that's their opinion, but don't let it affect you. Long time ago, I learned that like not everyone is going to like me, and they're not wrong. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, the people who like me are right, the people who don't like me are right, because that's what their opinion is on specific comedy. And I could let it affect me going, well, why didn't they like me, even though the other 180 people did?
I guess I agree with that, too. I guess I'm talking about I did a show, and I went up there and fucking killed. It paid me money. I sold merch, made tons of money, made tons of fans, and then find out a few weeks. I recommend somebody to the gig, and they emailed the guy, and he's like, oh, that Adam Richman guy. Yeah, I'm not going to book you from his referral. I'm like, what? Who's the guy? Like, I never even had any problems with this guy. And find out afterwards he was annoyed. I still, right now, have no idea what I did.
Was this a club?
It wasn't even a club. It doesn't even matter. It was a one-nighter in, like, Northern California. So at the end of the day...
Who's booking that?
You know what? I don't even remember the fucking guy.
It's all right.
Who cares? My recommendation doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? Sometimes people are just like, fuck this guy. Who is this guy? He's confident, feels good about himself, and that's where we're at.
Yeah.
That's where I realize I'm offending people without even talking to them because they're offended by my bravado and my machismo.
If there's anything definitely about you, it is cheese.
But whatever those words are, like, what's wrong? And then people even start listening, oh, that guy's got an ego. What's wrong with that, man? What is wrong?
There's a fine line, I think, between egotism and confidence. You know, egotism is thinking your shit don't stink no matter what anyone feels about you. And confidence is knowing that you're good but not perfect.
Right.
You know?
And I believe that. And listen, I'm so kind to people. When I go out to the world, I really feel I'm kind. I'm always nice to people. And then people are just, their energy back is always like shitty. But I have this thing, if I say, that's like, I have a couple Richmanisms. One is...
Richmanisms?
It's a, you know, I respond to the energy of others. So if you think I'm sweet and fantastic, it's because you're sweet and fantastic. On the same token, if you think I'm an asshole, it's because you're a fucking asshole. And that's how I am. I realize, you know, I'm nice, you're rude, I'm ruder back.
I think you're a handsome, talented guy with a huge cock.
Thanks, man. See?
And now you say it back to
no,
me.
No, I don't.
Really God damn it.
I have this other one, which was, I treat people the way they treat. Like, if you, it's basically, if you act like an asshole to me, well, guess what? You're going to be an even worse animal. Like, you treat me like shit, then I'll show you. Like, I'm an asshole to assholes, I guess is what it is. You know, I don't like what people...
Sounds like a weird scene from Requiem for a Dream.
Well, it's almost like when people feel like they take advantage of people that are sweet and kind. Because if you're a bully, that's what you're doing. But I like to bully bullies back. I'm an asshole to the assholes.
Were you a bully as a kid?
No.
No? But you stood up to the bullies as a kid?
I was a cool kid, but I was friends with everybody. And that's what... Sometimes people still feel like they live in high school, you know? I feel sometimes people look at me like, oh, that guy was the cool guy in high school. I hate him. Yeah. Schnaffy, schnaff. And I didn't shove anybody in lockers.
You look like you might have.
I might have. But there's also the, you know, like the frumpy girls, you know, that we see these days, like unhappy, average, frump. Those are always the ones that hate me.
Why do they hate you?
I don't know, man. There's something about the going back to high school where...
People have issues getting over things.
I totally believe
that. Our generation, I think, has that problem.
I believe that.
Like we're in our late 30s, and yet a lot of people are like I don't know, like, dude, remember like 20 years ago when we were in history class and you said this fucking shit, dude, that was really fucked up. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was 91.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Sorry, my watch is really fast.
Yeah. Also, I read body language like a motherfucker, man. People don't realize that. I've called people on those things, and they've said something like, "Well, I didn't say that." It's like, you didn't say it. But you said it.
Yeah.
Like, it read in your body, and I'm sorry that you didn't actually say that. I called a girl on the fact that she was, like, different to me the next time, and she said, well, I didn't tell you that I no, it was cool. It wasn't, like, a bad thing, but it was something like, I didn't tell you that I liked you. It's like, you didn't tell me, but I felt it. That's why we're talking right now, because I felt good. This isn't a bad thing. It's really good. I felt good energy by you that we liked. It was your body language, which suggests way more than your words can.
Right.
And sometimes people are too, well, I didn't say it. It doesn't matter that you don't say that. Words are only like 10% of communication.
Absolutely. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Women, this is a different topic, but they are so emotional and such, they're so different in their body that one day they'll feel this great, amazing, oh, they're so awesome. And the next day, they felt completely different. So when you talk to them, you're actually speaking to a different person.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
It's true.
Where this girl fucking loved me today. When she had time to be by herself and all these other things, all of a sudden, she just lost that. The next day, when she was thinking about me, she didn't have that same feeling. And it could be from anything. It could be from, like, eating pizza or going to a movie. It's like how whatever emotional range they're in.
Seeing
oh, I
you
love
on
that
stage.
Movie. I love that. Yeah, well, that's... Seeing me on stage, I think, is now a good thing rather than...
Let's say you like. Are you to the point now to where women like 90% of the time love you, and there's 10% that's schnarf?
I grew up with five sisters, you know. And,
really?
Yeah, and so many women that I have these different relationships with women. I've some I want to fuck, some I just want to be friends with, some I want nothing to do with. So it's all about establishing of where we all are. But I feel like I sometimes call women on their shit, and they feel like, well, he's a guy, he doesn't know anything. No, I know way more about women than you do because I've dated more women. I have more women that I'm related to. I have more women that I'm friends with. And you only know about you. You know about you. And when you relate to all women, you're talking about you, maybe a couple of your friends. And I've got, you know, even a conversation I had with a girl I was fooling around with who said something about what she liked. And women don't like when you do that. I'm like, you might not
like it,
like,
right.
When I do that, but yeah.
Don't generalize.
Please don't, because you're insulting all my other girl. And they're all different. I had a girl that I dated once, and then she wanted to like kind of date me again. She was like 26, which is a significant difference.
This
now.
Is recent.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago, and she said something to me about. The conversation was about, like, you know, well, she said something like, well, will you give me a blowjob? She's like, no, I don't want to give you a blowjob. I'm like, why not? Like, if you liked me, you'd want to give me a blowjob. She's like, women don't like giving blowjobs. I was like, right? I was really like, what? She's like, I think that if they give you a blowjob, they're really lacking in self-esteem. I was like,
oh, my God.
I really had that moment that's like, all right, like, you're looking around like, am I on camera? Like, are you being serious right now? Like, that's what you believe. And I realized this is an insecure 26-year-old girl who doesn't have enough experience.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how she feels. Because when you said that, you're insulting all these girls that just, like, go
love
crazy
to suck
for
the
it.
Cock.
Yeah. And, jeez.
All right. Well, speaking of sucking cock, it is that's an awkward segue. It is now time for a little part of the show. I think you know what I'm talking about here. Skippy Green Show. Well, God damn it. One day I'm going to get this cue so on. Let's try that again. I'm not going to even edit this part out. It's a fuck up that's there. It's part of the show called The Skippy Green Show.
It's The Skippy Green Show.
Yay.
Hey, Adam Richmond, how are you?
Fuck, I hate Skippy.
Why? I hate you too.
Flip, why do you do this to me?
Flip's not here right now.
Fucking Skippy.
Flip went to get a blowjob from one of your sisters.
I will do this interview because I'm here. All right?
You have no choice, Richmond. No choice whatsoever. By the way, it's good to see you. Good to see you holding a mic and not yelling at it for a change.
Hey, you know what? I've yelled. I still yell, but I definitely brought it down.
You've toned it down. You've definitely toned it down.
I watch old videos of myself. And go, Jesus, I sucked. Sorry, that was your video, Flip.
Last week?
That was your video, Skippy. I was watching your...
Oh, my... You ever see me on Merv Griffin?
No.
I mean, I was literally on top of him. That's how I got the gig. All right.
Get the caveman!
I don't do that tag anymore.
Why not?
Because I have to add, and son! All right. I did the arm thing. So nobody
Free Willy!
That's not even a cartoon. All right, are you ready, kiddo?
Yosemite Sam!
No. What's that?
I'm going to mute you. All right, here we go. Answer the following question.
I hate these.
In 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words. I'll count them down for you. Ready? If you... Dum, 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 dum. If you... could... fuck any of the Muppets, which one would it be and why?
Animal. Because that guy has already been in my bed.
Perfect.
Huh?
It's The Skippy Green Show.
That was a great answer, man. What did I miss?
Thanks, man.
What did I miss?
I had an animal puppet when I was a kid.
Maybe that should have been mentioned beforehand, because now it just sounded creepy.
Yeah, forgot about that part.
Dude, thanks so much for doing this, man.
No problem, man. It was fun. I like it.
And I don't think you've mentioned it, but what's your website?
I have a new launched website. It's mobile-friendly. It is adamrichmondcomedy.com.
I like it.
And you can follow me on Twitter, at Adam Richmond.
R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D?
Yes.
Excellent.
That guy.
And your schedule and everything's on your site?
Yeah, my schedule's there. I don't know. When do you put this out?
This will probably be up sometime at the end of June.
End of June. Okay. Well, in that case,
you just go to adamrichmond.com.
End of June, I'll be in San Diego. Then I'll be in Oregon, and then Minnesota.
Beautiful.
So come out to one of those places.
Beautiful.
But hit me on my website, guys. AdamRichmondComedy.com. It's fucking awesome, man. Super
excellent.
Happy.
And it's very. I actually got your link about the new mobile, and I went on it on my iPad. It was very good, man.
Thanks,
very,
man.
Very good.
Thank
so,
you, brother.
And guys, I don't even have to give you a spiel anymore. You know, FlipSchultz.com, FlipIsFunny.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Got some new dates on the calendar. Doing some military stuff myself, and you can see that all on the website. Thank you guys so much. Whoa, and we will talk to you next week. See you later.
Later, guys.
For dinner. What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.